This is chapter number one this morning, and I hope this message will be a help and a blessing to you today. Haven't we had a wonderful song service this morning? Man, God's been good to us in the music, and just felt His presence, and just thankful for good music, and we can worship Him and thank Him for what He's done for us. I won't tarry this morning, just get right into the message, and hopefully today that, I'll try to finish my message. This is basically going to be more of a survey of Amos, and I've waited probably 2 or 3 months to preach this message for the right timing, for the Lord's timing, and thought and prayed and searched what was God's will concerning this message, and I believe the Lord would have me to preach this message today. Today's message is entitled, Amos, We Have a Problem. Amos, we have a problem. Look at Amos chapter 1 with me. In verse number 1, verse number 2 is all we'll read, and then we'll give you some background of the story. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion, and utter His voice from Jerusalem. And the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message this morning as God allows our time. Father, thank You for the privilege You've given me to be here today. And I trust this morning that the message would be God ordained, would be God breathed. Lord, that You would just anoint me with Your power and help me to teach and preach, God, what You have to say, and not my thoughts and not my words, but, Lord, what You want. I pray this morning that You'd fill me as we have sung and as we've worshiped and as we've praised You this morning. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would fill me and that He would anoint me from on high. And, God, that I would not be seen or my words be heard, but, God, that You would. And this morning, I just pray that You'd get me out of the way. I need Your help this morning, and I pray that Your blessings now will be upon the remainder of this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to use this lapel mic if you guys can turn me on this morning. Can you hear me, Moan? Let's try this. Moan? Nope. Nope. All right, let me see if I'm on. Okay, I'm not on. I'm going to stay right here this morning. I don't make sure everybody hears this message. Red light's on. That's not good, is it, Jeff? Okay, no good. All right. Let me give you just a quick background on Amos. Amos is what many of us would probably understand as a minor prophet. All the minor prophets and major prophets, the books of the Bible that we know as minor and major prophets, are books that deal with prophecy, they deal with revival, they deal with restoration, they deal with repentance. However, Amos is a book that doesn't deal with repentance or revival. It doesn't deal with restoration. We'll get to the purpose of this book in just a moment, but can I just say this? Amos is a book of prophecy, a book that we can find the sermon that God told Amos to preach to God's people. Just by way of some background this morning, let me just give you a couple thoughts that I think that introduce Amos and what he's saying to you this morning. Let me say, first of all, let's talk about the ministry of Amos. The ministry of Amos. We find his call here in the book of Amos and in the later part of the chapter. Amos was a herdsman. He was a shepherd. In fact, he was someone who picked figs and he would sell. He was a trader, someone who lived his life as a shepherd and as a herdsman, someone who picked figs. He was called of God from this, so to speak, profession. And I'm thankful today that God doesn't call necessarily the elite or the high or the proud, those who have all the money or those who have all the answers with all the abilities. Here the Bible says that Amos was just an ordinary shepherd, an ordinary herdsman, just an ordinary fig picker, and God called him and used him to do great things. We see his call. But also in Amos we find a confrontation that Amos had with Amaziah. Now, don't turn there, but in chapter number 8, we find that the priest Amaziah is getting tired of what God is telling Amos to preach and teach in the land. Again, I'll get to what he's preaching and teaching in just a moment. But he's getting tired of what he's preaching and what he's teaching across the land. And so Amaziah basically tells Amos, "You are to stop this message. You are to back down from what you're doing." And what we find in chapter number 8, that Amos did not back down. that Amos took a stand for what God says, this is right and this is wrong and this is what he told me to do. Let me just say this quickly. No matter if Bryson City, Swain County, the United States, or the world agrees with it, if God says it, we should take a stand on it. Amen, Brother John. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There is a way to take a way to take a right stand in a wrong way. In fact, we're known for that, aren't we? People know how where we stand, and we know how what our beliefs are. But many times we do it in the wrong way. And people have no clue about who we really are and about Jesus Christ changing us. All they see is our mean and nasty and militant ways about us, and we're just to other people we look rude and nasty and mean. I think we should take a stand, but we should do it in the right way. It should be filled with love and grace. It should be filled with the mercy of God as He's taking care of us. Amos took a stand, and we need more people to take a stand. I say to you this morning that Amos stood for what God told him to stand, but he gave him a message. The message of Amos we find all throughout this book is a message of judgment. Now, that's something you probably didn't want to hear this morning, and I'm not saying this message is necessary for you. All I'm saying is that God told Amos to preach this message. He gave him the specific job out of all the prophets to preach this message of judgment. Now, understanding everybody else, just about every other prophet preached about judgment and talked about judgment, but every other prophet talked about it in the basis, in the premise of returning back to God and getting your lives right with God, and understanding there's a revival and repentance and returning back to Him. But Amos, nowhere in this book do you find a repentance. Nowhere do you find him preaching returning. He is simply saying the judgment of God is coming upon His people. Now, I'll just be very clear. This is not a popular message. This is not a message that probably is going to get a lot of amens. And I'm not telling you this morning that God's going to judge you. Here's what I'm saying to you. According to Scripture, I do believe that the very wrath and judgment and anger of God was taken out on His Son, Jesus Christ, in our stead. I believe that. But I also believe a New Testament principle that's found, that the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now this morning, Amos was preaching judgment of God. Now he's preaching directly to God's people, telling them, you are far gone. You have gone past the line too far, and God is telling me that you will be judged. Now this morning, there's all kinds of people in this room. All kinds of people in our country, all kinds of people that lives in the Bible Belt. Let me just say quickly, there's probably a couple kinds of people that are listening to me. Some of you may be skeptical about this message and you say, well, just prove it to me. You're going to have to prove what you're saying to me. There's others who are very cynical that says, so what? There'll be some who will be serious about this and you'll take examine of your life. Not that God's going to pour out a judgment on you, but that God has given us an opportunity to examine where we are spiritually with Him. Today, I just want to quickly give you a few thoughts that Amos gave about the judgment of God found in this book of Amos. The first thing that Amos addressed that I want you to write down if you're taking notes this morning, he talked about the abundance of sin. The abundance of sin. Now again, this message is directed at God's people, at the people that God had given Himself for and to and a part of. So Amos is talking here about God's people. Ultimately, he's talking about how this sin in God's land, in God's place, amongst God's people, have been running rampant. And now he's saying, okay, you've done everything you wanted to do for so long. Judgment is coming. Now that's what Amos is preaching. Judgment is coming. There's so much sin. There's so much going on in your land. Judgment is coming. In fact, he kind of gives us the direction of this. Look at chapter number 2, if you would, and begin reading with me in verse number 4. Amos chapter 2, I say we'll do a little survey. We're going to skip around a little bit as long as we have the time this morning. But look at chapter 2 and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. In other words, I've put off too long and I'm not going to turn away from this. I'm not turning aside this. Look what he said. Because they have despised the law of the Lord. They have not kept his commandments, and their lies have caused them to err, after which their fathers have walked. Now look at verse 5. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Ultimately, he spelled out here the situation of the sin of the people. He was sick and tired of hearing and watching and seeing and them being a part of. The Bible says, first of all, they despise the law. You understand what the Bible says? They despise the law of the Lord. In other words, they got sick and tired of hearing and reading. They got sick and tired of it being promoted. They got sick and tired of God's word, of the law that God had given Moses to give to them. They got sick and tired of hearing from God and hearing what he had to say. Now listen, if that's not where we are, if that's not where our country is, if that's not where many of us as Christians are, and we get so sick and tired of what the preacher says or what the Bible says, they despise the law. Not only do they despise the law, the Bible says, they disobeyed the law. Look at the next phrase. They despise the law of the Lord, and they have not kept his commandments. They disobeyed. Simple enough. God says, here's the line. Don't cross it. And they begin to cross it. And that's what sin is. That's that transgression. We take that moment of decision from one side to the next, and we say, we'll do what we want. This is what God says. We'll go here. From the beginning, God says, listen, don't eat of that. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve did. They crossed that line. The Bible says here, nothing different. They disobeyed the law, but they also lived a life that was detouring from the law. The next phrase the Bible says, and their lies have caused them to err, after which their fathers have walked. In other words, I don't believe this is talking about a tradition. I think this is talking about living right and wrong. Because of their sin, they have detoured from the path that God would have them. If you have some time, sometime this week, you read Psalm chapter 78, and you'll read how God was gracious and kind and compassionate, and how God time after time would come back to them and come back to them and forgive them and help them and help them and help them. And then time after time, they would turn and rebel against an almighty God. The Bible says here that God says, I am sick and tired of how you have not just despised my law, not just how you've broken my law, but because of those things, you have not only parted from my path, but you've made a total new path that you're walking on. And I'll just say this quickly, and this is not something you don't know, but God is a holy God. God's a God who cannot stand sin. He will not look upon sin. That's why he took the wrath out on his son. That's why the Bible says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he cannot look upon the sins. He cannot see the sins. He's a holy, he's a just God. The Bible says this in Psalm, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know what that means this morning? That means that God, the righteous Lord, loveth righteousness. That he loves it when we do right. He loves us when we honor him. He loves it when we fall in line with his commandments. He loves it when we try to honor him. But sin will ruin any nation, any people, any marriage, any home, any family. Say, Brother John, I can't believe you're preaching on this. Somebody needs to preach on this. Our nation in particular. Well, we kill more babies every year. Murder. You're talking about the lifestyles that so many people try to pave away, that God says no and they say yes. So many people that are blatantly, proudly and arrogantly looking at God and say, I'll do my own thing. I'll do my own way. And God, we don't care about you. For a nation and for a place that was much founded on the principles of this book, boy, how far we have strayed. Amos is talking about the abundance of sin and how it has just swept through their land. I say to you this morning, we better be careful to allow things to come in our lives. One leads to another. Amos not only talks about the abundance of sin, but number two, kind of where I want to dwell this morning for a few moments. He talks about the apathy of the saints. Now, I can preach this morning on how we're all just, I mean, our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. And woo, Brother John, preach it. Get them wicked sinners. But don't get quiet on me right here. Because he begins to deal with those who are religious, those who are the people of God, those who claim or who have been risen as the priest and the those who preach and teach and lead in the Word of God. Go to chapter 6, if you would. Let's read a couple verses there as we survey the book of Amos about this message. It's interesting to me that chapters 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, you find these words beginning in the verses, verse 1. Hear this word. Chapter 4, hear this word. Chapter 5, hear this word. Chapter 6, woe. Is that interesting? Is that a consequence? I mean, is that a coincidence? Is that something that just happened? No. I believe he was telling them, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. But woe to those, look at the first words here, that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. In other words, what he's saying here is, woe to those who have just relaxed on the fact that God is your all in all, and that He's your provider and He's your protector and He's your God and He's your Jehovah. He is everything to you. You have relied on so many things and now you have become apathetic. Boy, if there's no greater statement, I'll say this morning, this is it. Boy, how God has blessed us in this land. Now God has so given to us and been good to us and been gracious to us, and that many of us in our churches and our land are just at ease. I think he mentions a few things here. He talks about complacency. He mentions those who are at ease. They're complacent. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4 and verse number 5. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and vent themselves instruments of music like David. I mean, they just live in the life. I mean, God has so been good to them. God has chosen them. God has made them His people. And God has been so good to them, but yet they are complacent. Notice the comparison he gives in verse number 2. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see from thence ye go to Hamath, the great. Then go down to Gath, the Philistines. Notice this question. Be they better than these kingdoms? Or their border greater than your border? You know what Amos is saying here? He's saying, listen, look at the places around you that have went down the same path and done the same thing and that begin to ease up on their relationship with God. Look at their life and look at what they did. Their places are in ruin. You know, he said, you're no better than they. Can I ask you this morning? Do you feel like because you've been saved a long time, or because you've been at this church a long time, or just because, man, you feel like you know the Bible, and just because you've done some things before in your past, boy, everything's just fine. You don't have to do anymore. There's nothing more to be accomplished. Well, you can just relax. Understand something this morning. He's pointing out to them that there were countries and nations who did the same thing and they were destroyed by God. Well, we better wake up. We see their carelessness and their callousness. The Bible says in verse number 3, ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Basically, they're careless about what's coming. They hear the preacher preach. They hear the message. They hear all that's going on, but they don't care. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I mean, does it bother us our service for God, our attitude toward God, does it bother us
Does it bother us that we are not where we should be with Christ? Does it bother us that many of us just simply come as a social activity, that many of us just come to sit and to listen to a message? Does it bother us that many of us are not engaged in the ultimate work of God and trying to reach people? Does it bother us that Jesus has given us a command? Does it bother us that many of our churches are going to another place and another message? Does it bother us that the lifestyle that we live just completely sickens God? Does it bother us anymore? Or are we callous to the fact that God says, don't do it, don't live that way, don't be a part of that? But we are unchanged and unbothered by an almighty God. Does it bother us that we don't get convicted anymore when the preacher preaches? Does it bother us that the altars aren't full of tears? Does it bother us that people aren't getting saved? Does it bother us that we're not serving God? Does it bother us that many of us never do the work of the church? The Bible says, Amos here said, God's people are apathetic. They become calloused. He mentions here they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the ultimate judgment of God, how God continually judges people. Eventually, you would think, wake up. I mean, how much more whipping does God have to do to wake us up? The truth of the matter is, this morning, I have not only seen this, but I've experienced this with family. Now, God will give wake-up calls. And as he does his children, as the Bible speaks clearly that he disciplines us and chastens us, I believe he gives those warnings, and I believe he gives those wake-up calls, and I believe he says, listen, you better get concerned and wake up. This is real. This isn't fake. This isn't a game. I believe he gives those wake-up calls. And then eventually God says, enough is enough. The instance that I'm speaking of is a young man who gave his life to Christ and surrendered to preach and went his own way. He knew God's call in his life. He knew where God wanted him to be. He went his own way. God kept whipping him and saying, no, wake up. Hey, turn around. Hey, listen to me. You better care. You know what God said? Enough's enough. Took him home. I can tell you story after story. I can tell you of a 28-year-old man. I can tell you, a 28-year-old man that gave his life to Christ, that sat in church every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just rocked back and forth under the conviction of God. He would get saved. I had the privilege to baptize him in the baptistry and to watch him serve God and to see him go away from God. And God would send those messages and God would whip him and God would say, hey, wake up, wake up. And at 28 years old, he went out of this world in a bike accident, in a motorcycle accident. Why? And I believe with all my heart that God says enough is enough. Wonder what God is going to have to do to Victory Baptist Church for us to wake up. I wonder what God's going to do for us to wake up to the souls that people in Swain County and Bryson City are going to die and go to hell unless somebody tells them about Jesus Christ. I wonder who will wake up and who will be concerned Saturday morning at 11 o'clock when we go out and we pass out a tract or a postcard and say, listen, I may not know everything, but I can tell you, come to Victory Baptist Church or read this gospel tract. I wonder how many are concerned enough to get out of bed, to stop what you're doing, and go tell someone about Jesus Christ. See, I believe in our day, not just America. I'm bringing this down to Victory Baptist Church. I'm bringing this down to every child of God. Well, we've become apathetic. I raise my hand, raise both hands. The things that used to move me don't. The things I used to cry about, I don't cry about anymore. I can remember when I first got saved, friend. Boy, I was ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Anybody else like that? Well, you got saved, man. You was on fire. You was excited. Man, we was going, I don't care who's with me. We're just going to go. So much excitement and passion. We've allowed our sin. We've allowed our apathy to set in. In our churches, our families, our lives are calloused. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to be mean or rude. And I'm trying to be as loving as I can. This is a difficult message to preach. I think it's a message that needs to be preached, though. Let me just say this. Boy, if you think I'm preaching this message because I'm mad at you, you're just badly mistaken. If you think I'm preaching this message is because God's sitting up in heaven with a fist and he's waiting to punch us. Can I tell you something? God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you. I mean, God has been so gracious to us. This message isn't coming from a mighty, powerful, strong hand of God. It's coming from a hand that has been nailed with nails. It's coming from a heart that has been pierced with sin. It's coming because he loves us and he wants us to see us honor him and love him. That's the message. They were callous, they were careless, they were complacent. But can I say this last of all, and we're done. Amos gives us the answer. He gives us the answer. And I believe this answer this morning is something that we must be serious about. We must look at our lives. Not the person sitting beside of you or around you or in front of you, but the person that you are, the person that wakes you up, the person that who you are is who needs to take this message serious. Would you turn to chapter 4 and we're closing? Just don't turn me off yet. Chapter 4, probably the most famous phrase or verse in the entire book of Amos. Amos is not a very much quoted book, as you can tell this morning. But probably the most famous verse in verse number 12. In verse 13. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. What's he going to do unto them? Judge them. Look what he said. Because I will do this unto thee. Here's these words. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Verse 13. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto the man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and that treadeth upon the high place of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I want to close this morning with that simple phrase in our minds as we bring it to a conclusion. Prepare. He specifically says, prepare to meet thy God. I think I would do an injustice if I didn't say this morning. If you are in this building and you have no relationship with Christ, you have never been given the free pardon of sin, you've never accepted what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross for your salvation. In fact, this morning, if you were to die, you're not sure where you would go. Can I just be very frank with you this morning? You're playing a foolish game with God. I really believe today that God loves you in spite of you. I believe he loves you where you are. I believe he loves you no matter what you did last night, no matter what you did last week. I believe he loves you so much that he's willing to send his son to die for you, that he's willing to give you a brand new life. This morning, based upon Scripture, if you don't know where your eternity will be, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, make it very certain. You will this morning make a choice. And your choice will either damn you to hell, or your choice will allow you into the presence of an almighty God. Prepare. If I could speak to Christians this morning, I could speak to the church. I said, Brother John, why preach this message? Why is this message so important? Well, because I believe with all my heart that one day this will all be over. It'll all be done. I believe one of two things are going to happen. I believe, number one, either we're going to die. Nobody likes to think about death, do we? We're going to die. I mean, I often, you know, my youth pastor used to keep Snickers in his pocket. He was a diabetes, but he said if he's going to die, he's going to eat those Snickers and die happy. I mean, he knew that he was going to die.
Hey, the reality is, maybe the same group will never be at the same place at the same time again. Maybe next Sunday, there may be somebody in this building who's gone on. Just a couple weeks ago, we said goodbye to Mandy's dad, 51 years old. 4 or 5 years ago, we said goodbye to her brother, 25 years old. Death is no respecter of persons. Make it very clear this morning that we will die, or the Lord's going to come back. As that song we sang about this morning said, as Alan sang, one day the trumpet's going to sound. I just have to believe that at that time, boy, I know God's judgment has already been taken on His Son, but man, what we've done for Christ has to matter. What we've done for Him has to matter. If it doesn't matter, He wouldn't give us the commands to go. He wouldn't give us, I don't know the extent of that matter. I don't know the extent of what all that is. I don't know much about heaven other than what's recorded here. I don't know much about that reward. I don't know. I just know that this life does matter. And that for many of us in this room, we have been apathetic for too long. Would you begin your prayer life? Would you begin your getting along with God and learning of Him and spending time with Him? Would you get back to that excitement that you had in reaching people and being a witness? Would you allow Christ to begin to work in you and you seeing great things happen in your life through the Holy Spirit and through the fruits of the Spirit as He comes out through you in your life? I don't know. Again, I don't understand this whole idea of preparing, but I just know this life is important and it matters to God. And many of us, if not all of us in this room, have some room to get our lives stirred up and shaken up. Say, wake up. I remember I was... Our kids just was at camp this week in Hillsville, Virginia, and I'm done. I remember going there, I mean, I don't know how many times during the summer. I was there, I worked there 9 summers, worked there 5 or 6 years as a regular staff member, then I worked there as assistant camp director for 3 or 4 years. Had the privilege to meet a lot of kids, meet a lot of people. It was a guy that was there, his name was Ray Simmons. Ray Simmons was a bus captain. He brought kids to church on a bus every Sunday. He couldn't drive, but he was the bus captain. He'd go out every Saturday. He'd ask kids to come to church, you know, and then every Sunday morning he'd get up 7:30, 8 o'clock, and he'd drive a bus, and he'd go pick up as many kids as he can to bring them to our teen church on Sunday morning. Ray Simmons, every week in the summer, if he had a kid that wanted to go to camp, he would pay for their way, and he would go as their counselor every week. Some weeks he didn't go because he didn't have a kid, but some weeks he would go. Ray loved to play ping pong. Ray loved to hike. Ray was just a great testimony. Ray, when he was born with a problem with the spine. They had to surgically implant a hump so that he could stand up straight. Ray had rods going down his legs, metal rods on both sides of his legs. Ray had one of those voice implanted things that you have to mash to be able to talk. Ray stood about this tall. When Ray passed away, he was about 45 years old. Lived a life probably much of pain and agony. Ray was a dear friend of mine. I love to see Ray. Ray was such an encouragement. I was sitting in the back one day for a service. Brother Tim was preaching. And I was sitting back there kind of, you know, popping bubble gum and yawning and just like, let's get this thing through. I just happened to look over at Ray and tears were coming down his face. And boy, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart to say, why are you so apathetic? I mean, we've got all these things that we love to do. Many times we forget God. I wonder if God would give me that passion and that desire that Ray had, give us to all as the tears begin to run down our face as we think about our world, our society, our family, and our kids. God, give it to me again. Maybe this message isn't for you, or maybe it is. Would you do business with God this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that how you have spoken to us. God, we know you're real. Lord, I've done my best this morning to try to preach this message wrapped in the love of Christ. God, you love us too much to allow us to go a different way. God, you care for us too much to allow us to be apathetic. God, I confess to you right now exactly who I am, exactly, Lord, my failures. I confess to you that I've been apathetic. Lord, as a pastor of this church, I have failed in this area. God, I pray that you'd give me that desire. I pray that you would burn in my heart. I pray, God, that you would wake me up. God, that my family and my home, my church, my community, my town, my county, Lord, they can see Christ through me. God, thank you so much for giving your son my judgment. Thank you for giving your son my pain. But God, this morning, would you help me to see that and respond with excitement, and respond with service, and with the right attitude, and with the heart of worship. God, please do a great work amongst our people. There are people in this building this morning, including myself, that needs to do business with you. God, burn our hearts again. Wake us up. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed,